Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 3rd. Can you believe that already? On the West Coast, and January 4th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. For all of you joining us for the first time, or first time this month, we want to wish you a very happy new year, especially those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network. And before we bring up tonight's guest, I'm going to review the past year in numbers. And this is courtesy of Mark Noller of CBS News.
I'm Mark Noller, CBS. I'm Mark Noller, CBS Noller, CBS News.
You could say that I'm kind of the CBS News numbers man at the White House.
One of the jobs that I've taken upon myself.
We only need to listen to this once, Mark.
Some of the numerical aspects of the presidency.
There we go.
Now, it's not always groundbreaking information, but it does add context and perspective to the activities that the president engages in. For example, how many speeches, remarks, and statements do you think President Obama gave during the year just ended in 2010? Well, by my count, it was 491. That's an awful lot of speeches and comments and statements. And if you add that to what he did in 2009, it comes up to 883. Now, those numbers include news conferences and press availabilities. By my count, he had 27 of those in 2010. Of those, he only had six formal solo White House news conferences here at the White House. Since taking office, though, if you count all of the news conferences and press availabilities that he's had alone and with foreign leaders, the number comes out to 69. Now, those numbers of speeches also include town hall meetings. By my count, he has had 17 of those in the year just ended. We also know the president does a lot of travel. That's part of his job, domestically and foreign. I keep track of those activities as well. By my count, President Obama had 65 domestic trips in 2010, spanning 104 days. Since taking office, he has had 111 domestic trips, taking up 176 days. Now, some of those are vacation trips. He's just ending his Hawaii vacation today. He has had six vacation trips in the year just ended, totaling 32 days. And if you add that since taking office, it comes out to 10 vacation trips over 58 days. Now, how many states has President Obama visited in his nearly 2 years as president? By my count, he has been to 38 of the states since taking office. That puts him in very good place to having visited all of the states by the end of his term in office. Foreign trips? In 2010, by my count, President Obama made six foreign trips to eight countries, spanning 22 days. Since taking office, he has made 16 foreign trips to 25 countries over the course of 70 days. Now, one of the numbers that I'm most proud of, because it takes a lot of effort, is how many flights has he taken on Air Force One and Marine One? Last year, he made 172 flights on Air Force One, 196 on Marine One. Now, there are important numbers over which President Obama has only limited control, but they do cast an important shadow over his presidency. For example, the unemployment rate. At the beginning of 2010, the unemployment rate was 10%. by the end of the year on December 3rd, that's the last date for which we have a number, the unemployment rate had only decreased 0.2% to 9.8%. The national debt is another similarly important number for President Obama. During the course of the last year, the national debt increased by $1.56 trillion. It began the year at $12.3 trillion, and it ended the year at $13.8 trillion. It has increased on his watch over $3 trillion. Now, how many bills do you think President Obama signed last year? By my count, it is 203. He has had 6 cabinet meetings. He's been to Camp David last year only 4 times, which is not very much. But one of the reasons he doesn't go more is because of his daughters. They have school activities, and he wants to spend time with them, so he stays at the White House. President Obama, in terms of recreation, does like to play golf. During the course of 2010, he had 29 rounds of golf. Since taking office, he has played golf 57 times. He submits to a lot of press interviews. President Obama has done 107 interviews over the course of the last year. Also in 2010, President Obama had face-to-face meetings with 61 foreign leaders. And there are a few days on which we never see President Obama. Those added up to just 24 during the 365 days of last year. Now, of course, in the year just ended, no numbers were more consequential for President Obama than the results of the midterm election. His party lost seats in the Senate. It has lost its majority in the House. And the full impact of those numbers will only come into sight when the 112th Congress convenes on Wednesday. President Obama returns from his Hawaii vacation tomorrow, and dealing with Congress is going to be one of the major issues which he has to deal with. I'm Mark Noller, CBS News at the White House.
Now, we thank Mark Noller for that. He was so anxious to start, he said his introduction about 3-4 times. Anyway, I have a follow-up commentary on that from Mr. Stevie Wonder.
It's not too cool.
the words of Stevie Wonder, you haven't done nothing. I guess that that's a double negative. That actually means you have. But what is it you've done? You've spent billions of dollars. That's about it. Eaten a lot of caviar, drunk a lot of champagne, and chased the lobsters around. Well, with that, we have a different guest tonight. As many of you know, our regular guest on Monday nights has been Dr. A. Truat. He is indisposed this evening with a more important obligation. And graciously, our good friend has decided to come on board and help me out this evening. He is a polymer chemist, a chemtrail opposition researcher, and many other things, even a musician, believe it or not. My good friend, Dr. Mike Castle. Dr. Castle, welcome to the show.
Well, good evening to you, Don, and to the galaxy for anybody's listening in, and special friends over on the West Coast. Good evening to you. And, you know, I just got a commentary listening to that person. It's like he just ran from Washington, D.C., and he just tromped in, and the pitch and the quaver of his voice, it was like, and he never did say, do you know what, believe it, and the threat of symbology was always chronic.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of expression are you supposed to have on your face when you listen to a people talk about the accountability of trash like that? I don't know, Alistair. Well, you can only hear bizarre things like it on BBS radio, right?
Yes. Well, or CBS TV, actually.
I was going to say CBS. You mean the CBS we knew and grew up with? Are you Walter Concrete or Cambodia Broadcasting? Well, good evening to you, Don. I'm glad to be along this evening.
Good evening. Before we get into our topic, I want to reference a two-hour interview I gave on Drew Malone Rain's A Marine's Disquisition today. And I have to tell you and the listening audience, it was the fastest 2 hours I've ever experienced in my life. I'm bringing forth some information about one of our former presidents. And I've done the usual photographic analysis that I'm getting a name for. And am I proud of that? No. Somebody has to do it. And I've determined that our 41st president, who I've already said was an infiltrator, did not attend Yale University. And it'll become quite clear to the listening audience and my readership when I reveal why that is so, as well as where he was at the time he was alleged to have been studying at Yale University. It's a shocking story, and it rings true because we actually have photographs of him in Europe that match. Under the name that I've identified, Scherf, but a different first name. And it's just staggering. The amount of evidence that shows that his participation at Yale, 2.5 years, getting a degree, a Bachelor of Arts degree in economics, I guess that trains you to be a common thief, one that learns to steal trillions of dollars. So I'll be revealing that on an upcoming show. And, of course, if you want to talk about that a little bit tonight, we can. But I know you have other things on your mind, and I appreciate you being here, Dr. Mike.
Okay, well, just so we don't have any delusions, you know, it's your show, Don.
Well,
talk about anything you would like to talk about, sir. We've talked about so many things, and you did speak to me this morning about that when you called. It is, I'll just in fact say, intriguing, but I just kept pulling up that flag in front of me. How does that, what bearing does that have? I mean, how much can we despise this person that we thought was okay for a long time, a very long time, and one of his sons? And then it hit me, of all the things that we've went through here just recently with the Tea Party and the Quiet Revolution and the infiltration of the Tea Party by those others, I'm thinking, well, I don't really know where we're at. Are we going to, in fact, demand that we have civility once again in this nation? Then I hear on Fox News there's a new poll, a telephone poll that was just taken about another Bush, Jeb Bush, a 70% rating approval. Isn't that just the, in fact, the very tip of insanity? Because mm-hmm. they just continue doing the same thing. They just keep throwing this trash in front of us. And we're supposed to, it's like nothing else ever happened. George Bush had, Jr. had no knowledge of 911. We've completely proven that to be absolutely false because it was so much greater than a false flag.
Mm-hmm.
Bush Sr., in fact, has been involved in such of the axis of the evil empire for so long, and we find out by other researchers such as Jesse Ventura and Alex Jones and those researchers, Watson and all them, we find out that Bush, in fact, was there the day at Dealey Plaza, the day that, with a photograph, the day that President Kennedy was assassinated. None of these things are coincidence. And then we just keep going on this level of, it's okay, it's okay. We got another Bush pulling up the rear, Jeb Bush, 70% approval rating. Now what I'm saying is, why are we still tolerant to this type of mind control that everything's okay? None of this stuff actually really happened, even though it did, and it's a lot worse than anybody. In fact, they're all stuck to that adhesive on the front of the matrix called denial. It's a super bonding agent. I've spent 20 years making and developing bonding agents adhesives. And let me tell you, this one's even stronger than that. This is stronger than Gorilla Glue. Once you get stuck on denial, you can't get away from it. But we still have that. It occurs every single day in our society. Now, I don't know that you can call it anything else, but it's like everything's okay. Oh, man, how come you're so negative? Don't you have any good news? Just tell me one piece of good news. So anymore, I just make up my own good news. It's something that I do. Your comment a moment ago, the time just flew by when you're on Drew Raines. I'm making you another one of my pendants. And in fact, will slow time down.
You're going to have to make one BBS radio, too, because they're going to have to be synchronized.
Well, see what it does, but it does, in fact, it brings things back into a natural cadence. And you know what a cadence is. If you're marching to something, if you're not marching to something, then you must be laying in a casket somewhere. But it brings things back to a natural draw. And this is the use of natural magnetic energy, a crystal or crystals, and Möbius coils
mm-hmm.
wound in the way that you know. I've gotten fairly good at that. I've got three, and the one that I'm the most catering to are the one that looks like this particular crop circle that is on my screen. And it's been on there for years now, but it appeared somewhere in Glastonbury, England, back in 1995, I believe was the year. And it's a big delta-looking triangle with points, 12 points on it. I call it the tri-stacked arrowheads because they got these delta-wing arrowheads with fins. And if you stack three of those together in three directions, it makes this also known as the 12 points of the Apostles crop circle. It's my opinion that particular crop circle is a purview of exactly what this entire universe looks like, because each one of those sculpted into the wheat over in England in this crop circle, there's 12 of them, but they're mansions. They're pyramidal shaped mansions, and you can count them. There's 12 of these mansions. And the arrays are just so emblazoned on there. But I've got a younger daughter that actually is a very good sculpturist and an artist. And she actually, just from a drawing, made one of these up. Oh, that's the one I was looking for. It is very powerful. As a matter of fact, it can slow down time, and it did. I was carrying it on a 100-mile trip here just this past weekend, and my wife said, doesn't it seem like we've been on this road forever? And I said, yeah. She said, well, how long is it supposed to take to get there? And I said, hour, 45 minutes. She said, well, we've been on the road for 2 hours now. And I said, oh, well. She said, why is that? I said, well, I've got one of those pendants in my pocket. Well, she said, can you turn that thing off for a while so we can get there? So anyways, on the way home, I actually just touched the pendant and I said, go back to regular time. And we got home in an hour and 30 minutes. So it's just a matter of your synchronization of your heart and your mind. And I guess a little bit of faith in things that are all natural. Natural magnetic energy is something that is very real. It's just that no one's paid attention to it. That's all I've done. I've just paid attention to it. And I'm figuring out how to work with it. Not manipulate it, but work with it. So anyways, Don, I just wanted to throw that in about the pendants. Well, I'm going to get you one here soon.
In terms of our interview this afternoon, we actually went over the first hour break by 9 minutes. We were so into analyzing photographs on the radio, which is a very difficult thing to do because we're describing to the listening audience what we've seen,
right,
and what we're looking at and interpreting it. And, of course, Drew had a background in the photographic labs of the military, right, intelligence in the Marines. And he knows his stuff. And he could see all the things that I had seen. It was just one anomaly after another. A totally fictitious event that did not occur. If it occurred, the photograph would not be fraudulent looking, and it wouldn't have anomalies like missing shadows and shadows moving in all different directions and parts of a baseball stadium missing from one photo to the other, tops of trees missing. And we're not saying that they were cropped out of the photographs. They were taken out, intentionally taken out, to represent the event as something other than what it was. And what's interesting is we have photographs that match under a different name. Mm-hmm. Absolute match. In fact, they're better photographs than the ones presented to us as allegedly being a representative of Yale University. So this is going to be a fascinating topic in upcoming shows. Can guarantee mm-hmm. you that.
Well, I would agree. It would be very difficult to try to verbally describe photographs and the anomalies that you see and the things that, in fact, are just not right. They're just not according to Hoyle at all. It'd be like trying to describe a centipede with broken legs verbally, you know. On the radio.
Toning.
While you're looking at a picture. Okay.
The counting is hard enough.
Well, the great Skull and Bones is at Yale. And, I mean, all that, in fact, is just in those stacks of things that we've come to know that there is wide participation in. It is basic, like boot camp training. And we can see the results of it. These people are just totally mind controlled. Mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, from the day they're born, they're mind controlled. And I can tell those out there listening, if you're with the Tea Party, you better jump on anybody that you look to as possibly your leader or leadership in this, not the Republican Party, because they're going along with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let Jeb Bush, in fact, clamor up there, people. I'm telling you, it's just another false flag. It's, in fact, to make you think that everything's okay, and here comes another Bush. No, I don't know the man. Am I going to be respectful to him? No, I will not. And that's just because of genes. That's because of nothing else but genes. Has he done something wrong? Can't tell you, but I just know that we suffered through George Bush Jr. And look at suffered. I voted for the man. Yeah, I voted for him. But I didn't know. I didn't know. It was listening to radio shows like yourself and listening to Dr. Oz's show and listening to so many shows, the Power Hour and Alex Jones and, yes, all of them, talking about the things that they have found. And it got out. And that just continues. As long as we've got this internet, we can still talk. They haven't shut us down. And that's the only thing that they want to do is to shut us up. And then they want to, in fact, implant things that we can say. And I'll just keep screaming hoka hey to those.
Well, you know, there's as dark as these topics are, the truth is coming out. And what I discovered yesterday actually ties together a good 90 years of this family's history. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the published accounts for public consumption. I'm talking about specifics. You had several generations of the family infiltrating this country, and it all fits like a glove. The dots connect and they stay connected. So it's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. I also have to say that mysteriously there's another Egyptian connection to this whole thing. This preoccupation with Egyptian mythology and Egyptian alchemy and the mythical gods and goddesses that they secretly worship from a satanic perspective, of course. All the clues, all the evidence is there, flat out there. And it's been advertised. That's the thing. It has been advertised. It was right under everyone's nose, and we will see it for sure. So this dispensation to pursue things of Egypt, whether it's the pyramids or the Sphinx or buried treasure or buried artifacts, mummies and all the curses and all these things – they have a tie to what's going on out in space, and they're related to certain beings that come from other planets, not necessarily other galaxies, but certainly in this galaxy. You know, there were about a trillion planets in this galaxy. The galaxy we were taught is called the Milky Way, is called the Galaxy of Hendon. In other parts of the galaxy. Now, that in and of itself is interesting. That flies in the face of what we're told the name of the galaxy is, because they would not want us to know that there is another name and that someone else named it, because then you have to assume that there were other people living in other parts of the solar system and the galaxy and the universe. Why is that such an outrageous claim to be made?
Well, they could not call it Hendon, because can you imagine buying a candy bar called Hendon? And it is, as I understand, the largest planet in the galaxy. That's what I understand. But the Milky Way, in fact, was a marketing thing that was born a long time ago. I can't find any reference whatsoever to any tribal anything calling it the Milky Way. I don't think they would use that language to begin with.
Well, it didn't stop them from naming another candy bar a Mars bar. You know.
Oh, Babe Ruth. And you know what we think about when we had a Babe Ruth bar?
Well, actually, baby.
Just don't throw it in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the universe is something that I did want to talk about this evening a little bit, if it's okay. And it's not like I'm interviewing you, but Don, it goes back to, let's just say, 2004. I've been in this battle, been on broadcast radio, on so many of them, been so blessed with being able to just get on the radio and talk about. I started with talking about the chemtrails, and then all the corruption that in fact entailed in the, well, it's been referred to as the military-industrial complex. But ladies and gentlemen, it's so much worse than that because it's so much bigger. But I've been blessed with being able to talk on radio. Well, in 2004, I decided to take a little trip. And, of course, nowadays, if what you do as a profession, being an environmental consultant as my last profession for over 20 years, I was engineering and environmental assessments and audits and cleanups and the whole smear. But I decided to take a look at ET. Oh, yeah, you know, you got UFOs and all that stuff. And, yes, I've seen one long time ago, 1973, I seen one. Huge ship. So did my family. I was just a young man then. And we seen this massive orange, looked like it was on fire, coming in right over top of Preble County where we lived at. And it went to the horizon, and this thing, I can't even describe how massive it was. But I've seen those things, so when it comes to believability, well, you sort of have to do that yourself, and I have. But I've also been around other people on the Internet. Dr. Robert Ghostwolf is one that I can clearly say has sort of led me onto the path of, Mike, it's bigger than you think. It's bigger than you think, even the chemtrails. It's got other connections that you don't understand. And he was the one that explained that to me. It wasn't just the U.S. Air Force. It wasn't the HARPs in the Navy. And it wasn't the minions and the private contractors. It was much bigger than that. So I started going down that trail, Don. One day, in fact, I put into my search engine at the time names of the five ET species. I think that was exactly what I put in there. Oh, it led me all kinds of places. But what I found out, and this was before Google, by the way, but what I found out, I came to something called a vital message. And that began this journey, can I call it a trek, possibly? Star Trek, well, your own personal Star Trek, it was. But this vital message talked about another group. Can we call them groups? This one, they called themselves the Galactic Confederation of Light. And as I understood from this vital message, they were in the Orinian system. There was a king on there and a queen Angela, and they, in fact, talked about many of the clusters of stars that there were also important individuals. A lot of it with King On had to do with the Sirius system. Now, I know the Sirius system is something that the General Jeremiah is very, very aware of. I'm told that that's where this one planet that we keep hearing about, Balqui, is. We've got no way of proving that, but that's where it was said that this must be in that star system. Well,
let me correct you. That's not something I said, so I don't know where that information came from.
Okay.
That's not.
Well, but the Sirius system, in fact, if you're facing north, it's actually to the southwest of us, out one arm, just to get to know the galaxy. It's down and out one arm. That's where the Sirius system is at, based on our location in the galaxy. But I done a lot of study there, and I found out that there's five different species on this one planet that's in the Pleiades. Matter of fact, I'm very, very close to that. It seemed like this whole thing launched off just from finding out about that planet. I called it Alcyone 2, but I spelled it A-L-C-I-O-N, not A-L-C-Y-O-N-E. Alcyone 2 is a massive planet. You may have heard me say this before. It's bigger than our Jupiter, and it's covered with trees. These trees have got girths at the bottom, 3 to 5 miles. You can't even imagine how tall that is. But they're as if they are their own being. They are beings that, in fact, that's how they're treated. And the geology, the atmospheric, everything about that planet is identical to Earth. Landmass and oceans, we can't even believe. We have no comprehension of how much a depth is. Not in miles, but in hundreds of thousands of miles in depth. And there's beings in the oceans there as well. Matter of fact, their cousins are in oceans below us as here as well. There's a lot of similarities. Matter of fact, why does the giant sequoia only occur in that part of California? Well, there's more than circumstantial evidence that was hit with something that had seeds on it and may have very well came from this type of sector of planet way out in space. That's possible. But I know that's conjecture, but this planet, the Alcyone 2, has five different species. The principal one, since they're Pleiadian, they're in the Pleiades. The Pleiades are very tall, winged beings. They're very, very docile, based on what I know about them. They're not angels, but they're angel-like. I mean, the wings, in fact, are what we would call giant bird wings, but I mean that's the nomenclature, just like angels. And then there's four other species there, not including the Dolphinians in the seas, but there's four other species there. One of them are the giants, huge giants that live there, because it's a giant planet. They are in fact the same as Sasquatch here. You know, that's the kind of giants they got there. And they're friendly too. But all those things I started learning just by talking to different people who had heard stories, mostly through Robert Ghostwolf, a journey I never experienced before in my life. Well, anyways, I came back to Earth because I couldn't go there, but I always have felt this kinship with, if you will, with that particular planet, Alcyone 2, since I named it. And it, in fact, orbits the second star, the 4.5 magnitude star called Alcyone, A-L-C-Y-O-N-E, has two blue alpha stars, and they counter-rotate. And this was on the – this is one that orbits the second blue star. So it's kind of fascinating to look at this and see that if you take a picture of the Pleiades, you'll see those two blue alpha stars. So all this does exist, but in telling Dr. Ghostwolf this, he said, I think you might be from there. And I said, well, hey, I don't have wings. I'm a pilot, but I don't have any wings. And he said, no, that's not the way it works. So anyways, fast forward. King An, don't know who he is. Then I come across things that are coming to me from overseas. And we've got another group. It's called the Galactic Federation of Light. Oh, yeah? Galactic Federation of Light. And I keep hearing the same resounding that these are creatures of light. I've come to know that that, in fact, is also the imprint, that is the footprint of someone who's Luciferian. Because that seems, in fact, to be the... let's just say the good old standard trick. It's not an angel there, dummy. That's a demon type being. They're always hung up on sex. They're like the big blondes. Homosexuality seems to reign anytime that particular group called the Galactic Federation of Light comes up. In fact, they get all their information about these beings from channeling. I don't know what channeling is, Don. Channeling to me, it sounds obscene, really. I'm not certain what it is.
Well,
but then, go ahead.
Let me comment on that aspect right there. When you're calling a group of people something, and light sounds like that promise is what? Enlightenment? What is enlightenment? Is that knowledge? Is that consciousness? or is that a mindset? Is that a controlled system? Mm-hmm. It's indefinite in its own definition, and that these beings always have to speak through people. It's the antithesis of the creation, because we have God in us. We have the creation in us. We're given that gift as part of our birthright. And the moment that we look outside of ourselves in that respect, in other words, outside of the I am of the creation, of the Godhead, then we are submitting ourselves to a belief system. And you submit yourself to any potential number of interferences of beings, because demons are disembodied spirits that are looking for a place to camp out. They're looking for a place to feed, to live off the life force of an individual or large groups of people. Mm-hmm. And they're not shy about doing it. They're fear-based. Where there's fear, you can presume that it's the opposite of what God intended, because God didn't create us to be fearful beings. In fact, it's our turning away from the God within us that causes fear to be able to manifest itself. So when people are channeling, and this is going for a lot of people that believe in channelers, but do they have the discernment to know what the source of the information is? Because you don't need to channel an entity if you can talk to God. If you can talk to the God that's within you, we are created in his likeness and in his image. What does that mean?
And prayers cost no money.
That, yes.
But when they channel, you're going to pay them.
it doesn't require a middleman for you to talk to God.
That's
He didn't. He didn't create preachers and organized religion to have agents out there collecting money. And I always say God has never had a cash flow problem. The creator of the universe, or the multiverse, whatever you want to call it. So.
Well, I think
there's a difference between being discerning and channeling, where you submit yourself and just sit there and allow something else to speak through you. God certainly will speak through you when you're aligned with God in your purpose and in your intent. God will speak or impulse you to speak, but you can see and understand and know the truth of God. And these beings that masquerade as messengers for God are there to usurp the laws of the creation. It's simple. And it goes way beyond a belief system.
Well, and the serpent, in fact, was the first of the grand liars.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the serpent was. He was a liar. We learned that word because of the serpent.
Yes.
We learned that you, in fact, could do such a thing, lie or tell an untruth. Well, it just didn't set well with God Almighty, and this is as the Bible tells us. But these people, in fact, seem to work the same way. And I just stopped short of saying, seems like there, and all this is coming from overseas. Most of it's coming from overseas, a lot of it. But it seemed like they're just hell bent on bringing in sexuality, homosexuality, ritualism, bloodletting. These are all groups of this same thing called the Galactic Federation. And here's something else that I found out was extremely interesting, was the attachment that Dr. Ghostwolf had made back in 2001 with this planet, one that's got a gold bonded shell to its molecular atmosphere called Nibiru. every 3,700 years or so, it comes back through here. And listen, talk about fatal attraction. The planet, in my opinion, the planet that once was the Mars, in fact, was a moon at one time, as a satellite. The planet itself, in fact, had a fatal attraction, I believe, to this thing that we're now calling Nibiru.
I don't. I don't believe that. I
just said that was my opinion.
Yes. But
over a long period of time, shared by Dr. Robert Gosewolf from a long time ago.
Anybody can have their opinion on it. Let's look at the reality of a planet that's on a collision course, allegedly, with the Earth. Now, if it's on a collision course, then it's done this before.
Well, Nibiru is almost the size of our sun. It's just a lot smaller in its size, but its gravity is just as great.
It doesn't even exist. It doesn't even exist, so you can't compare it to the sun, the moon, the Earth, Mars, or any of the other planets. It does not exist.
Well, it came out of mythology, so like the giants didn't exist, but they do. So anyways, it's a matter of discernment and opinion based on these things that we really can't speak about, but something happened every 3,700 years in our galaxy, in our solar system.
It's just more fear-mongering. It's something that gives credit to a group of people that sat around and made up a calendar that's got everybody scared to death that something's going to happen.
Okay, well, au contraire, because Nibiru, in fact, do have this particular species called the Anunnaki. That's where they came from. When I went to Japan, I clearly seen that, in fact, they were ready for a giant warrior-type thing to come to Kyoto City, and I went there. I went in there. I'm thinking, why did they make this door 38 to 40 foot tall? Why is everything gigantic in proportion? The Buddha over there was a giant gold leaf covered Buddha when you walked in there. I was just visiting.
Do those people necessarily have to have come from a mythical planet, one right now that they're saying is on a collision course with the Earth, although no one in space can see it?
Well, I'm not going to get into a debate with you or anyone else about does Nibiru exist. It's just that I'm just reciting things that I have found out to must have been true based on somebody else's observation going back thousands and thousands of years. And no, I don't believe these evil things came in and planted the Sumerian tablets and then took back off to the future. I don't believe any of that stuff, but they could have. They could have.
The University of North Carolina's Moorhead Planetarium has debunked the Nibiru.
Oh, I got zero respect for that, Don. Let me tell you, that's a bunch of experts. An X is a has-been, a spurt's a drip under pressure, and they're not on our side. Well, the Catholic Observatory, all the observatories, everything, and they in fact can sit still and still let the Hadron Collider continue its operation for what purpose? Well, they're not going to tell you what the purpose is. But let me tell you, they're all involved in this same, let's just say, this same downing of this planet Earth and turn it into scorched Earth. And they all have knowledge. So I've got zero respect for them. Just remember, I told you that.
Well, yeah. But, the fact that they're destroying
anything that they say or claim.
We don't need another planet to come along and destroy it. They're doing a good job destroying it on their own.
Sure, they are. But anyways, I wanted to follow up with the last one, and that's the United Galactic Federation, the Galaxy of Hendon, which I learned from you. And I know about the United Galactic Federation of 574 plants, and they come to us in the name of Christianity. Well, now that's different, but I'm not certain who these beings are. Are they all human? Well, I know General Jeremiah, you tell me, he's human, he's from here. That's all I know about this. I mean, all these places, in fact, are very, very unique. But interesting enough, what comes from overseas about these same groups of people, and some of them, in fact, kind of raise your eyebrow. Yeah, but it seems as though vampires are connected with the United Galactic Federation of Hendon. How does that happen? That all of a sudden somebody from overseas throws something like that down here, and it's like,
who says
what are we supposed to do with this?
With them.
someone overseas. They talk about these types of things a lot, as well as the underground, which you and I have had a not so good conversation about here of recent, privately.
Well, yeah, you know, if you get into the logic of what's being said, certainly with the space shuttle flying around the Earth, orbiting the Earth, how many tens or hundreds of times do they travel around the Earth? If there were holes in the poles of the Earth, in the North Pole and the South Pole, what would be the harm in showing us that? If that was the reality, if that was the case, how does the Earth have a magnetic?
Well, that's why I told you the other day. I have no idea why or how you could possibly hide something like that. But the epoch of the question is why? Well, I don't know. But that was just one part of something that somebody had claimed from old records. At least they were from the 1920s, in that era there. Why they would do that, I don't know. But I do not dismiss nor deny that there's something that goes on in this, under this world. It is so, it's as vast as the surface. It's just a little bit smaller. And I do know that based on the things that I've read, going back as far as I've been researching this myself and listening to this myself, I know those places do exist. Even the Transylvanian Sunrise book that was written by Peter Moon and Dr. Ott talked about considerably, and the travels of these beings into this underworld, and they come up to the Hall of Records, and it was made for giants. Well, there's more than one time I've heard that commentary. There's been Dr. Ghostwolf, in fact, has found those type of beings in southern Illinois, along with a sword that he sent me a picture of, and I got all those photographs of these. But this sword, in fact, was massive. It was just about 10 foot tall. It had a shank on it, which was, in fact, the handle, which was over 6 inches in diameter. Now, just imagine getting your hands around something that's 6 inches in diameter. And it was made out of a shiny metal, but it was not gold. But it, in fact, had all the types of markings, the ornate, if you will, that would be, in fact, particular for that type of ornation for gold. I've still got a photograph of that in my disk files. I don't keep it on my computer anymore. But it's just plates, just pictures after pictures after pictures of plates that were found. We're talking about southern Illinois. Okay. In some massive cave systems that, in fact, aren't just caves. They're underground places.
I don't dispute that we have caves and caverns and tunnels and underground bases or underwater bases. I don't dispute that. But the claims that there were people living under the crust of the Earth in regions flooded with crude oil there's this. Can I finish, please? Or the story that there's a volcano which is blocking this opening at the North Pole, and that there's a central sun in the Earth. Now, certainly, somewhere along the line, that information would come out. If there's a planet, if there's a rogue planet that's going to hit the Earth, and it comes around every 3,600 years, when it comes around, what damage did it do the past 3,600 years? Why would this time, if it exists, why would this time be different? Oh, they know it's on a collision course this time? Or is it because the people who were living down there with the central sun in the center of the planet, underneath the volcano, the ones that are going to dig themselves out through a volcano, through a hole at the North Pole, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make scientific sense. Okay? It's more disinformation is what it is. And that these people have been down there all this time living, why would they want to come up? Why would they want to come up and see the pollution and see the corruption that's on the surface? Why would they want to do that? If they're living in paradise, why would they even consider that?
Well, this is not paradise here on this surface.
Oh, but we are
from the surface
underneath the Earth.
Right. Are you familiar with the ant people in the Hopi legend? Or excuse me, the Hopi and the Mayan legend? The ant people. The ant people.
I've heard all these stories. Okay, now, Dr. Castle, I'm not hearing you.
I must have accidentally pressed my mic mute. Sorry about that. Okay. But, no, the Mayan, in fact, had told this many times. The Hopi, in fact, told it. But they carried – the ant people carried these people to safety and ended up where they're at currently in the Four Corners. But it's just stories like that. We've got no ways of scientifically proving anything. As a matter of fact, there's so many things that we can't prove scientifically because, as I told you before, science – I'll give you 80% purity if you show me something that you can absolutely prove is scientific. I'll give you 80% at the best because we don't understand what science is
today. Let's say there were ant people pseudoscience. That saved some people. Are they still around? Are they going to save anybody later?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just trying to demonstrate the fact that they are there and they've been there a very, very long time.
And why would they be obligated to save anyone? You see,
John, I can't answer questions like that. I mean, who knows? Who knows why? I'm just trying to, in fact, put the playing field or the playing cave out here that they've been down there. There's things that we still don't know, but we've heard these stories from people who have got no reason to make this stuff up.
Well, I can tell
like
you.
Like I was telling you, talking about the Dolphinians that are underworld, underwater, but it's not under our ocean. It's under the ocean that's under this ocean. And they are there. I've heard that story from people during the Gulf disaster who wrote me and told me these accounts of actually there's very vast underground networks that come up through the Black River and the Suwannee River in north central Florida. And they, in fact, told me about these encounters. They said the message was tell them to stop drilling. That was the message. It wasn't, hey, you guys are screwing stuff up. Yeah, the message was stop drilling because they're cracking the crust.
Well, most of us would agree with that. So,
but this came from a different race that was in Florida, and they've been here longer than mankind.
So are you saying they're not human?
No, they're dolphins. They're Dolphinian beings. However anyone wants to imagine what that is. But they're dolphin-type beings. That's the same ones that are on Al Sayon. I found the same thing to be present in those vast oceans, probably on so many oceans across this galaxy, since we won't talk about the universe, because that's too big. We can't wrap our minds around that. But it's the things that we were never told because, well, Hollywood's going to make a lot of money off of it first before they tell us, stupid people. But
well,
no.
God had a jackass speak to Balaam, okay, because Balaam wouldn't listen to God, so he had the jackass speak. Mm-hmm. Okay, I suppose
you mean a demoncrat.
So I suppose there's nothing wrong with God having a dolphin speak to him if that's what it's going to take. But why do we need to hear animals talk? I'm just asking that rhetorical.
Well, I don't think a dolphin is an animal. I think a dolphin, just like I said about the trees on Al Sayon too. They in fact are beings, but it's just that they don't move like humans. We're the only ones, humans made in His image, kind that in fact are like God.
The dolphins are,
but that doesn't mean that the trees are not beings. As a matter of fact, that's where we screwed up. We just thought they were for us to cut down and use, but they're not. And that's the way this earth is. But we've in fact turned this all in for the power of money. So there's no argument here. It's just that we. As I said at the beginning of the Gulf disaster, they're going to take out one-third of the entire subtropical and tropical ecosystem if they don't get a handle on this. Well, they didn't, and they will. They will take out one-third of the entire ecosystem just because of the Gulf of Mexico. It looks like they're shutting down the Gulf Current. They're going to have a mini ice age over in North Europe. It's beginning. They're having ice flows and very extreme weather is coming up from the Antarctica. I mean, it doesn't take a missile scientist to understand this stuff, Don. It's just that this is what's going on, and you don't need anybody in the news to tell you that this is happening because they will not.
Okay, have the dolphins approached BP at all and told them straight out? I mean, you know, I'm not being sarcastic here.
Oh, it kind of sounds like it, but no, I don't think so. I think they've got a little bit more dignity than that, but at the same time, they don't recognize our kind as being this inhumane. Since we're talking about dolphins, does that mean we're being inhumane? No, they just came up with a message. And the same message was resounding. Stop drilling. You're cracking the crust. And that was proven. That's exactly what they're doing. They did crack the crust, and it was going right towards the Gulf of Baja. We proved that. Look at the earthquakes that have been there. Actually, and because it's abiotic fluid and the entire tectonic plate system of this planet rides, it glides on oil. Why these people like the North Carolina University and these other academia, why they can't understand that is because they were not taught that, and their brains can't comprehend a natural function of something like oil. They bought what Rockefeller's told them. Is there just a finite amount of oil? I mean, kajillions of dinosaurs all died one time, and then all this volcanic ash and everything just covered them up, and today we've got oil.
What's underneath the oil? Okay, you're speaking about the oil that's beneath the Earth's crust. What's underneath the oil?
Well, I mean, it rides on a series of shell plates. I have no idea what it rides on. I mean, I have no idea what's underneath there. But I know that you, in fact, are to get down to magma at some point. But then again, we, in fact, have heard that there are vast places under this earth because it is hollow for the most part. But what is hollow? Well, like we find that the moon is probably artificial and hollow.
Yeah,
we've got some evidence for that.
I think you understand what I'm asking. What is containing all this oil underneath the earth's crust? What's separating it from the magma so that beings can be living? They'd have to be living underneath it. Would they be living in it?
Well, these are vast spaces that are not just in direct link to where the plates are located. There's vast sections, in fact, are water. In the Bible, it talks about the waters, in fact, rising up and flooding. Okay, that was during the Great Flood. It wasn't just rain that done that. And that geyser came, those rushing waters came from the bowels of the earth. That's now called the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, which in fact has always shown volcanism, but at the same time, it's also, it was a geyser. Let's just say if there's an edge of a plate, there's where the waters rush to. You can see the evidence, by the way, that Cuba points to the east, southeast, but the meteorite that in fact scoured out that entire area by massive hydraulic erosion, in fact, doesn't support that. So something else must have, in fact, washed out what's now called the Florida Atoll, which is east of Florida. That's all been washed out by erosion of some sort. What's left is Florida.
Okay. So you're saying displaced away or not underneath the crust, not underneath the oil, not underneath the magma, in some other place, there's water. What separates the water that these people can be living?
What separates the water from these beings being down there?
I mean, otherwise they're going to be perpetually swimming.
Well, I don't know. You kind of got me at a disadvantage. I've never been there, Don. But as far as understanding the tectonic plates and what's underneath the earth, we've got no clue. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but I'm not... I'm not putting – I think that the focus of life on this planet is what's going on the surface, certainly. That doesn't mean there aren't things going on underneath the surface. As I acknowledge, there are tunnels, there are caverns, there are caves.
Or beings that live there and have lived there for a long time.
And underwater bases. Well, where those beings are is the issue, and how they're surviving, how they're avoiding all of this chaos that's going on up here. And it's admittedly, you're admitting yourself that there's magma and there's oil, and this oil is erupting. It's fracturing the crust of the earth.
And well, we've only been told that the entire core is iron and magma surrounds it because of the movies we've seen and what we've been taught just in basic geography class or science class or something like that. But really, we've got really no clue as to what's really down there. But we know that subterranean 1 and 2 are of the reptilian species. I believe it goes down to 3. And there's 7 of them. There's 7 areas of subterranean. Now, will somebody ever write a book and improve that? I've got no idea. I'm just going by what people like the Indian tribes that, in fact, used to be Dr. Ghost Wolf used to go around all the time. And I'm not just saying that. And by the way, he's written about this in his books. He's got many of books that he's wrote about this. But these are things that comes from ancient people, ancient tribes. They've been here for a very, very long time. So that's all I'm, in fact, reciting. But then the modern day side of that is what's like the dolphin people. Yeah, I mean, dolphins are really unusually intelligent, aren't they? Well, yes, they are. But we just really have no clue. We still don't know how to talk to them.
When if we don't know what's in the center, then we shouldn't be surprised if we even find, let's say, an exercise wheel and several billion hamsters just running their guts out. This planet turning. I mean, anything is possible, right?
Hey, maybe Pee-wee Herman's bike's down there, you know?
I want to take a short pause before we say goodnight here, Dr. Mike.
And okay, well, thanks for Don. I enjoyed the conversation, and we go lots of places here, don't we? Appreciate you having me on.
Here. This song is going to bring back memories here.
Come on now, drummer. Want you to tighten it up for me now.
Bell on the drills and tighten up. Dr. Mike, I think that's what we need to do is tighten up.
Especially on that bass drum. Well, we need to tighten up, Bell. Whatever happened to Archie Bell on drills? Is that the only song he ever made? I'm not certain. I forget.
It was a one-hit wonder, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that was the times that we remember. Hey, I think, I know that sounds like a crass commercial, but I think these pendants can take you back there. I really do. Oh, well.
Well, I wonder if the inner Earth people are tightening up with what's going on this planet.
Really, Don, I think that the beings that are down there are so advanced in their scope of reality. It's just like the beings on other planets in our galaxy. We as humans have got no clue. And I mean that. We've got no clue.
Well,
we've got no clue how to, in fact, be in reality because we've got this damn thing they call money. They don't have money out there. Money, in fact, was despised because God does not hate, but he despised that the money changers were in front of the tipple. So, but, you know, money makes the world go round. As I said before, it costs you no money to say a prayer. No money.
That's true. That's true. So
that's what the beings inside this earth, they are there. They understand this concept of universal unity. In other words, they don't have killing there. They don't have these types of reptilian impulses and compulsions. They just don't do that. Do they have evil down there? Oh, I don't know. Well, they say that hell is underneath our feet. I'm not sure that it's not heaven is underneath our feet, because I think that that is the doorway to the heavens anyway, is the earth that we're on. And that's just my belief, okay?
I think the doorway to heaven is the God that's within us.
Well, the doorway to heaven, Jesus said he's and he is the way and the light. And there's only one way you can get to God, and that's through that doorway of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I have no debate about that. There's nothing in my heart that feels that there's any way to debate somebody who wants to be silly and say, well, no, wait a minute. Don't I have a right to be? No, you don't have your rights at all, except those that God gave you. You take it up with him, not me.
Yeah.
So I just think that we're in a world that we need to have more of our consciousness aware. Expand your scope. Ladies and gentlemen, there's probably somebody down underneath our feet here, but we've got no clue who they are. But they're not bad. The reptilians are, but we've got no clue what all's down there. But we're wanting to go to different star systems. Well, we can do that too, thanks to Don Nikoloff. You can just go down to Paraguay and walk right through that gate. And Stargate, man. You're what, on Mars? Does that one go to Mars, I think you said?
I wouldn't recommend walking. But I guess in wrapping up, what I would personally like to say is that I would prefer knowing rather than believing, okay? Believing requires an assumption. Even Jesus talked about that, belief systems. Believing what another tells you. Now, I don't ask anyone to believe what I say. I've seen the Greys. I've seen their craft. I've seen the reptilian craft in person and in photographs and in film. And I've seen the Federation, the United Galactic Federation. I haven't seen any craft from this group people are calling the Galactic Federation or the Galactic Federation of Light or the Confederation of Light. Mm-hmm. Those are all names. I haven't seen craft by them.
Right.
Or flown by them. I've seen those beings. I've seen shapeshifters on video. I've seen them in still pictures. I've seen them on television. I've seen them in movies, in magazines, in newspapers, and in person. So I know. I don't have to believe. I know. And I prefer to choose what I'm going to accept on the basis of what I know. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah, and I thought you would have, in fact, appreciate that what I found after researching this for going on 12 years now. This is what I found. And nobody, in fact, can make a decision. Really, it's something that you have to feel in your heart. But you have to weigh and measure everything if you haven't physically taken a ride with them. If they haven't shown you their ID. See what I'm saying? How much evidence do we need? So it's what you feel in your heart that is right. And with all the, with all condescending aside of who these groups all are, I'm not certain that it makes a big difference. We don't have to pick and choose, but in fact, will the real galaxy of Hendon populace please step forward?
Well, let me say this, okay? In putting fear and so much attention into a calendar, let's say the Mayan calendar, why do we prefer the Mayan calendar over Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue calendar? Or one of the cheerleaders, professional sports cheerleaders calendars, or even a Norman Rockwell calendar.
Well, do they all stop at 2012?
Well, a calendar has to end at some point, but time is not influenced by a calendar. The calendar holds no power. It's a reference is all it is, mm-hmm. and it's an interpretation of something. What does it interpret? Is it the end of the world? Is it a new beginning?
Well, I guess at best we could just have to say we really don't know, right?
Yeah, but I certainly don't give power to the calendar. I'm not concerned at all about the Mayan calendar, nor the Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar. Okay, Dr. Mike, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Don.
On such short notice, it was fun.
It was. Blessings your way, sir, and hoka hey.
Yes, yes. And as we say, klaatu barada nikto.
Boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's last-minute guest, Dr. Michael Castle. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, we want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night for another great show, and we'll be here at Evident Footprints, so we'll be looking for you. In the meantime, I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. And I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.